Welcome to We Empower, the radio show that inspires you to embrace your potential, resilience, and strength. In these challenging times, we're here to help you unlock your power to overcome obstacles, pursue your dreams, and shape a brighter future. I'm Anna Martinez, your host for this empowering hour. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of We Empower. I'm thrilled to have you with us today. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired. Let's make today count. In today's episode, we have a great guest here to introduce. It is Tanja Wiegers. Dr. Tanja Wiegers has shaped the German economy from consulting to utilities, then built Stella Circle to reinvent top management culture, and co-founded FC Victoria Berlin to put women's football center stage, a leader who turns into impact. But first, we start with a song selected by Tanja. Hello and welcome to the show. I'm very happy to welcome today Tanja Wiegers, Dr. Tanja Wiegers. She has lived the German economy from the inside as a top management consultant, as CEO of Berlin City Cleaning Service, then as head of Vattenfall's heat business. Today, Dr. Tanja Wiegers is reshaping the C-level world as a co-founder and CEO of Stella Circle and as a co-owner of FC Victoria Berlin. She is putting women's football firmly and proudly on the center stage. A strategic leader and pioneer and a powerful voice in the next chapter of German business and sport. Welcome, Tanja.
Thank you very much. You're so kind.
I'm very happy to have you. I mean, we know each other from some years ago from an event where Angela, a woman from Germany, brought a lot of people together. People together. Well, I think she thought that these people will move something. And she was right. I think each and everybody she invited has moved something. You are one of these. And we meet once a week at least at World Economic Forum. We meet at different areas where leaders come together, but you are much more than a leader. And besides the questions I put together, I would like to ask you, what is your driver?
You know, I think we have so much power in ourselves, every one of us, yeah. And my driver is really to make this power come through and really help other people. And first of all, I help myself, yeah, to start shaping instead of just, you know, working or administering or living just to live. Yeah, I think it's so much more satisfying if you look back and you see something has come out of your work.
Absolutely. And is this something which is typical for you from childhood? Was it always like this that you liked to do something and see what you've done?
I'm not so sure, you know. Maybe I think one thing that's definitely important from my childhood is that I grew up as a child of a single mother, and she was doing an tremendous work actually, because my father died when I was 16 months old and my brother just 1 month old. Yeah, and in this German society where normally, you know, you have this very classical family image, etc. To just have the two kids and still give them all the power and the roots and the wings at the same time, that was always her mission. And I find this still very admiring. I try to be a similarly good mom than she was. Yeah. And I think there I saw how many things she could do on her own. But also, she has fled the Eastern German part of Germany when there were still two states. And so she had to reinvent herself. So I think she plays a very important role in my philosophy in general.
Wow. Is there a special situation you remember, which maybe comes to your mind, in situations where you are happy or having these?
You mean a special situation when I felt this very happiness of having created something? Yeah. Well, of course, there's one situation which is very vivid in my mind still. That's when we made it from third to second league with the FC Victoria, the football club I'm co-owning. Yeah, because we had wanted to move up the ladder already 2 years ago and 2 years earlier. And we were very close, but we did not manage. Yeah, we lost a relegation game, and everybody was so disappointed. And then, of course, when it finally happened, it was such a relief. And then, of course, it's so much nicer if you can celebrate in a team, which is always the case when you're doing football, yeah, or soccer. And I remember the beer showers. Yeah, I never wanted to have experienced that, but even that was nice. Yeah.
And back to your mother. Is a mother still somebody whom you have also with you, for example, also in situations like this, celebrating that you have in mind? Well, I'm really thankful for having somebody like this who gave me the strength, who gave me the idea that I can, and there's more I can.
Yeah, I think she's always with me. I mean, she died 12 years ago, out of a cancer situation, and it was very hard time also because it took 12 years. Yeah, so we had a very long time to really, yeah, say goodbye. But my brother and I, we both always feel her with us, and it's a very good feeling. And of course, we know that it's a present always because, you know, having grown up with a father, you could have the feeling that you have missed something, but we actually did not have this feeling. And so it's all the credit to her.
And is it that you have a very intimate relationship, therefore, also with your brother as a kind of we are family or we against the rest?
Well, we have a close relationship, but we are so different, yeah, that we always like to match our pictures of the world, and we are very close, but it's not us against the rest of the world. We are just enjoying closeness and the good feeling that whenever something should happen, we are there for each other.
That's nice. That's really nice. And I mean, you have so many hats on, and talking to you, seeing you always feels that you're really in your strength, that you're in your that you're in your in yourself, that you're relaxed, that you have a very strong resilience, is what I wanted to say. Is this true, and where does it come from, and what are your maybe three hacks to increase this?
Yeah, well, of course it's not true because I don't think that anybody always feels strong. Yeah, it's but I have the feeling that most of the time I really like what I'm doing, and I always keep reflecting on whether this is still the right path. I have changed my hats quite often, yeah, as you have already mentioned. But always out of a feeling, yeah, the mission is now completed. I can go on. I can start shaping something different. And where does it come from? I think a very important part of my experience has actually been 1 year in the US. Besides the strong mother I had, of course, I grew up in the very southern part of Germany, which is a very nice, picturesque region. But at the same time, of course, you have a lot of social control and imagination how life should be. And so I had all this package on my shoulders. And when I came to the US, I did this year of social service trying to get political education to the Texans in San Antonio, and it was a nice task. And there actually I was supposed to live with different families, yeah, and they had forgotten to organize this closely, yeah, so I finally ended up in living with seven families, yeah, and then I decided I make a bug out of this, a feature out of this bug, yeah, and I tried different personalities for myself, yeah, in the different families because nobody really knew who I was, yeah, and that was a very good experience because when I came back, I had the feeling, yeah, I know much more what and whom I want to be, and I think the real most important hack I can give is to really spend time in understanding what is you, what is really your inner strength, whom do you want to be, what do you want to achieve, and really don't intimidate yourself too much by all the societal assumptions that keep falling on every one of ourselves. And I think if you get rid of this surrounding and really understand more who you are, who you really are, I think that's a very important fundament for everything else.
And you have also kids, Tanja, right?
Yes, two. One is just doing her A levels at the moment, yeah,
Oh my gosh.
studying hard.
Wow. Is there also something, I mean, I hear a lot of people saying, oh, it's hard to have kids in nowadays times of crisis, of change, where they have to deal with fake news, with AI, where we don't know where that goes. Would you confirm this, or what is your idea on that?
No, I think we should really keep really understanding how important it is to have kids, for ourselves, but also to give hope to the world. If we do not want anybody to live in this world anymore, especially not our children, I mean, who should it make nice and livable? And of course, there is a multi-crisis, but at the same time, there's also so many good things that have happened and so many positive outcomes out of all, even technology, etc. I mean, we can connect so much more, we know so much more, we can learn so much faster. And when I look at my kids, I see them coping really quite well. They are 15 and 17, and I just hope they continue doing so.
I hope so too, because we need a strong next generation, strong also in their weaknesses, I think, strong in being transparent and resilient and be brave enough to go to the unknown, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
You come from different angles and you've seen different angles. You started your career in advisory, in consulting. What made you stepping into the public sector, and what made you also stepping then later into energy sector? I mean, it looks like from outside that you brought your whole consulting knowledge into areas to support communities, to support society, to support also, yes, to support a country.
Well, if you look back in hindsight, you can always create a red line. But I dare to say that most people who pretend to have had this red line all the time, they have never had it really. But of course, a certain fundamental conviction. Yeah, and I studied political science and economy. I really think these two subjects help you a lot to understand how societies work and what makes societies move and where are the levers to really get things advancing. And I did so in the just after reunification in the former eastern part of Germany, which was also a very good experience, of course. And everybody told me, having chosen political science as the main subject, that I will definitely become either unemployed or a taxi driver. None of it happened, fortunately, but also because I think that's again, what I said before. I had seen in the US a philosopher working on Wall Street. Yeah, so I thought, I mean, if that was working in the US, why shouldn't it work in Germany? And then consulting was, of course, a nice place to be. In the public sector first. I was first in consulting in the public sector because I thought that would perfectly combine the two worlds. Economy, fast-paced economy, I like fast pace. And of course, this societal, need, this need for societal change. And from there, I discovered quite a lot of different fields. I like to change my worlds, the worlds I worked in, trade association, but also public company, then a privately owned company. And in the end, it's all the same. Yeah, it always, there are the same structures almost everywhere. You just have to discover them.
Yeah, that sounds so easy, Tanya. I think a few other people would say it's so different, because maybe the people are different. But maybe you tell us a little bit more about this after the commercial we will have now for approximately 2 minutes. So stay tuned, and we are back in approximately 2 minutes.
UK House Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So, we talked before the break about public sector advisory, A lot of people told me in the past always about the public sector. Oh, you should be careful about the public sector. People are so different there because they have a safe job. They are not moving. They don't like to li deliver. This is a very, very scary area. If you are somebody who wants to move things on, don't go into the public sector. Would you sign this?
No, because if I'd sign this, then I would give up on states in general. We want, of course, our countries to be well run, yeah, and of course there is a certain tendency to attract more people who's seek for security. You know, when I worked for the Berliner Stadtreinigung, the city cleaning and waste management company in Berlin, I asked the young people, why are they there? And we had such a good reputation. And I always hoped for cradle economy or recycling or whatever. And people would most of the time say security. And then when I was working for Vattenfall Heat, I asked the same question. People would say, yeah, to change the world, to save climate, etc. So of course, the primary motivation, yeah, I would say might be different, but in general, and that's what we see all over the place when we work with people at Stella Circle, for example, that everybody wants to achieve something in their job. It's not that you just want to sit there and wait from 9 to 5, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and then just leave. Yeah, that's very rarely the case. Quite often the structures are very heavy, yeah, so it's difficult, more difficult to shape something. But if you want, and I've seen really functionaries moving things in an incredible speed and with an incredible outcome because they just did it, yeah, and you can. And therefore it might be a little bit more difficult to keep moving things, but then if you look at big corporations, let's say the administration there is rather heavy as well. So I think it really depends on the people in a team and their willingness to really start moving. And if they decide to start moving, then they will get something done.
Absolutely, I'm completely with you, and I'm surprised after having these prejudices seen when I go into public in the public organizations. I see a lot of motivated people. I see a lot of young but also older people which are happy when there's another another movement going through this through the floors going through the through all the tasks and everything, and they see that they can move on. That there's ability to that it's welcomed if they move to the next. And I think it's so necessary because for a country as Germany, for especially, well, we have a lot of social support, but because of this, a lot of bureaucracy. To get rid of this, to be able to act more in the ways people of the people needs, right? Less of the structures or structures which were made for helping the people's needs, where we are currently at a completely different different stage already, right?
Definitely. And I think that most people who really joined the public sector are maybe less money driven, and even if they say security as their first primary goal, if you keep talking, very, very often you see that they have this really need for societal change to make the world better.
Absolutely. We haven't talked about health really, but health matters a lot to you, and also gender matters a lot to you. There was often said female football can't be that attractive as male football, and women playing football is something which is still weird for a lot of men and got a lot of shitstorms in the past, right? Wherever we see that female football is not only necessary, it can be also really cool and fascinating. A lot of people said women are not made for football because they can't do it and not strong enough. They have other health topics. They need to take care more of their bodies. What would you say these people?
Yeah, you know, I mean, these prejudices are quite often in old structures, you hear them. Yeah. Even, you know, when I worked for the Berlin Waste Management Company, we had no garbage collectors because of health issues, supposedly. Yeah. Because some people would say that females are not made for collecting garbage because of their physical conditions. Yeah. And of course, it's a very well-paid job. The garbage collectors are in this sector really well paid, yeah. And it's a very regular job, so it's very attractive. So a lot of people want to join, yeah. So you need to look behind the scenes, I think. And by now, that was my present when I left the Berliner Stadtreinigung, that we employed the first 13 female garbage collectors, yeah. And they liked it. And if you look, of course, at parcel distribution or the health sector, you see how physically hard jobs can be. And there we turn directly to the field of football. I have no clue because I just you know, I've just visited the Dortmund Football Museum. It's very interesting, and there you can still see, you know, when the German team got European champions in, I think, 89, they got a China for as a present, yeah, instead of money or anything else. They got just this nice plates and cups, etc. And it's really amazing. And it's, of course, a symbol how the sport was looked at. Yeah, it's if they do it, then they just do it as a hobby. Yeah? And that's our big mission with the FC Victoria. Football is a job, yeah? For males and females. And of course, females are very strong and can do it. Yeah, and it's all a matter of training, but also adjusting the training. I don't want to say that you should not look at the health issues, because if you look at certain, you know, injuries, etc., you can draw a connection to, for example, the menstruation phases. Yeah, and if you consider that, you can get down injuries quite considerably, yeah. So it makes sense to really look at the particularities of the genders, yeah. But then you can adapt, yeah. And that's what's always the case. If you see that something is not working, then maybe you should try to do it differently.
Yeah, right, exactly. And I mean, seeing the women playing football at FC Victoria, what do you do there differently than other trainers to bring them so great upwards into a better league?
Yeah, I think that we have actually, I mean, for the training, we actually always wanted to have a female trainer, yeah? And we failed, we must say. Yeah? We have now the third trainer, and it's again a male, a wonderful male. And he came originally, of course, he grew up in this traditional field, yeah, and he's now playing more and more with females, and he's eager to learn. And so I think that's the main topic, to really understand the differences and look with a lot of consciousness on this new sphere, yeah. And there we are six female founders out of this for this club. Yeah, that's very unique. Yeah, that you do not have anywhere else, I think, in the world. Yeah, well, maybe Angel City, I should mention. Yeah. But there is a lot of knowledge we take in, because we come all from different fields. We soak it in, we hand it over, and he's really very happy to consider everything, and then of course make his own decisions. Yeah, and we have put together with him a co-trainer. She used to be a world vice champion and a European champion, Anouk Dekker from the Netherlands. Yeah, she played with us, and she now did the next step. And I think this combination of a trainer team is also quite nice.
Wow. And can you tell us a bit more about the co-owner as you? What are the others doing? Where do the others come from? Are they all women?
They are all women, and it's really very colorful. And there you can see that diversity is definitely not only a gender topic, because within an all-female group, it's extremely diverse. We have Ari Hinks; she's a double world champion, from Germany, and very, of course, deep into the football genes. So she's our sports credibility, of course, yeah. And then we have Verena Pauster. She might be known to quite a few people. She is a startup entrepreneur, also heading the Startup Association, doing a lot for education in Germany, and a very, very strong voice. And when it comes to marketing, nobody else is as strong as her, I would say. And she has this fantastic podcast, also Fast and Curious. Then we have the owner of a brewing company, Berno. That's quite typical for football, you would think. But then again, if you look at this brewing company, it's quite different, yeah, because it has developed out of, from scratch, taken in quite a lot of UK genes, yeah, because the Germans have always brewed the beer very traditionally. So she started to really make pale ale, etc., really popular here. We have Felicia Mutterer. She's extremely important. She's the managing director at the moment, and she was the inventor of the idea. She comes from the sports sector as a moderator, and has always wanted to not, moderate 85% of male sports and only 15% of female sports, and to change things there. And then we have Lisa Vera, who was the managing director for the first 3 years, came from Hamburger SV, but also marketing companies in the sector, and she really did a perfect job to lay the foundations for our club.
Wow, this is incredible. But Chorus, I can imagine if these people come together, it is not about how great they are, but it has to match in a way that it goes to the same direction. And each of you might have had also a vision, or might have a vision of now, not just the goal, but also the path onto this. Is this isn't this something which is sometimes a bit hard? I mean, I know Verena a bit. She has a great visibility. I think this could have helped also for gaining some money or finding the right contacts. But it's much more than that, no? Right? Because the money only is not dictating the path.
Well, without money, you can also forget it. I think you should be honest. And I think a lot of females are not honest enough quite often, because if you don't have a business model behind your idea, you will always be dependent on some other people helping you. And our idea is, of course, have our own strength in order to be able to shape it the way we want. And that's only possible if you have a business model working behind that. So I would not underestimate the money, especially in the football business. But you're definitely right. I mean, there are six strong personalities. And the very good thing is that the goal is very clear. Yeah, we want to go to first Bundesliga, play Champions League, yeah? Have a great visibility for our club, but for female sports in general. So that's very clear. But the way how to get there, of course, we are not always having the same opinion. And you can imagine that there's a lot of heated discussions when we meet. But since we have the same goal, yeah, and we know that, of course, if you put together a diverse group, opinions have to be different. You can also see it as a present in order to understand, okay, we have now really touched all angles. And then the managing directors, that's clear for us, then she has to take the decision. And until now, it worked well.
That sounds really good. When it comes to talents, and what do these women bring if they want to play football in a league which is more than just regional?
Well, it's really a job now. I mean, We are playing now second league for the first year. We have ended the season fifth. The last game will be on Sunday against Potsdam. And you can see that when you turn into full professionalization, that's of course a different story. Then you really have to see sports very holistic. It's of course the physical training, but it's also mental training that's becoming more and more and more and more important. Some people even say the mental training really will make the difference in the future. Then you have to look at the athletics besides, and then of course how you feed yourself. Because nutrition, of course, makes a huge difference. And so it becomes a whole universe where you have to take care of. And then, of course, you need to be there all the time. And understand that you have to improve, but also what you can contribute to the team. And we see, because there's, of course, some changes in the team, as it's often in professional football, that some people decide consciously that they cannot do it, and then they move out, and we want to keep them, of course, in our vicinity. But some just can't, and then you have to take also some hard decisions. But in general, I think it's a very conscious way of professionalization.
What does it tell you about leadership when you are on the ground, together with the team, together with the footballers? Is this something where you got some learnings also, which could help also for the boardrooms?
Oh, definitely. I think so often that we should look as managers so much more often into sports. Because the feedback culture, everybody talks about feedback culture in boardrooms and in companies in general. But if you look at our feedback culture, at least the ones I see, it's not half as good as the one in sports. Because you're so open with your mistakes. You watch them. I mean, watch your own mistake. Who does that in management? And watch it and rewatch it and rewatch it. To really understand, okay, there I could move a little differently. I'm too slow in this particular section. There I have not seen my partner whom I could have passed the ball to, etc., etc. So I think that is a huge issue. And if we became better in the companies in general in this regard, and we're much more open to really wanting to improve, I can just not picture the potentials we see. But then, of course, the discipline, to really keep going, have the endurance and the frustration tolerance to keep on moving, even if there's been hard times. That's extremely important. And the third thing I see so clearly, nobody in sports, and that's not only soccer or football, would do it alone. Whereas managers, most of the time, are really fighting for themselves and think it's a mistake or a failure if they have somebody to support them.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I think these are very important points. Managers should look at it very carefully, especially also this rewatching their own mistakes. I mean, a lot of people don't want to be confronted with this. So I think this is really something which is important. And there's so much more to learn. And there, my other questions will be after the commercial break, which is approximately 2 minutes. So we see each other again. Stay tuned.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support.
Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Tanya, we talked about the learnings we can get from leadership from the ground of football. And there's a lot, and something really important you said. And I mean, we can say, oh, this is so easy. I mean, just watching their own mistakes. Yes, we should do this. But even these easy things people don't like, because as you said, people often don't like to reflect themselves. They think they have to go alone, where togetherness would be the key. These easy things. What do you think? Why don't the people just turn around, widen their perspective, see that this is old style management, and this reflecting and going together, and also being aware of their own weaknesses, is not only okay, but is really a strength, and is that how future business works like?
Yeah, well, you know, I think at least I see movement. Yeah. Because if you look at how management worked and how hierarchical it used to be, and how much more inclusive at least a lot of people are, there you see change. And then if you also look, for example, at the US and the UK, almost everybody has a coach there. It's not true for the rest of Europe, I would say. It's interesting that the Anglo-Saxon area is more advanced there. But we will also move forward. And that's one of the reasons why we also founded Stellar Circle, in order to give a better tool set to, of course, still also British and American people, but especially also to the ones who are lagging behind a little bit. I think one of the major reasons why we are taking so long is that, of course, on top, hardly anybody tells you and mirrors you enough. Yeah, you have no real sparring partner. And then if you look at traditional models of how you spent your private life, then you didn't organize an honest sparing partner on your side either. Yeah, and that's also changing. So whereas in sports, of course, you're a team. You're so dependent that your teammate will just advance as fast as you are. Yeah, or you want to break the next record, and you see that the guy next to you is just doing it better. And it's much more easy to measure. Yeah? Whereas good management, you can still not really, there are no real metrics. Yeah, sometimes you have the CEO of the year, but you have no clue why he has become the CEO of the year. Yeah, and if you had better metrics, I think that would already help. And until then, I think it helps if you organize a mirror for yourself.
Yeah? Yeah, that's a good point. Organize a mirror for yourself if you can't be the mirror by yourself or can't do it on your own. And there's also there's also that you need another person, because you are in your experiences, but another person can widen your perspective so much. What is a Stellar Circle exactly? It reimagines the C-level world. But in your eyes, what needs to fundamentally change about how top executives are chosen, developed, and held accountable? And what part does Stellar Circle plays there?
Yeah, and you know, we started exactly there. We just ended with the first part of the conversation. We thought that, you know, how do you get people to get more into the shaping mood, yeah? and make them more comfortable and what do they need? And then, of course, my co-founder, Stephanie Salate, and myself ask ourselves, okay, what has lacked for us? What did we not have? Yeah. And then it was interesting because she did a real clear banking career, yeah, banking, but she changed the fields, yeah, private bank in the privately owned company Deutsche Bank, but then she worked for a Genossenschaftsbank, one of these publicly owned banks, and there the culture was of course completely different, and I changed industries quite a bit, yeah, and that already helped us, and we saw a lot of same structures everywhere, and we saw this what we just mentioned, that the especially the German speaking region, they are not taking support, yeah. And then we thought, okay, let's do a frog leap. Let's not do a coaching agency, but a navigation agency. Yeah? Stella Circle is actually a navigation agency. So we are by now 11 navigators, yeah, and all ex-C levels. And so you have conversations on eye level. People do accept what you say, and we have one additional advantage, we force our navigators to keep interacting with each other in order to not make your individual experience general. Yeah, because sometimes, of course, you can generalize, but sometimes you cannot and you should not. And to really keep up your professional standards, which you used to have also now in this field. Yeah, and I think, so you have a room for sparing. You have an emergency line, yeah, which is also quite important because everybody experienced some bad times in these upper fields. But you also have the possibility to leave your bubble. Yeah? And I think these three ingredients do make a difference in our eyes.
Wow, that sounds interesting, especially also the emergency line sounds interesting. Do you know how often people or members have chosen this emergency line?
Yeah, well, you know, everybody who joins us comes in this situation one day or the other. Yeah, I mean, we are in the market now for 3 years. Yeah, and I would say half of our members have already used the possibility, and it's really so important. Yeah, because of course, you know, when you have your firm being scrutinized, yeah, by the general prosecutor, that's an experience you hopefully don't have all the time. Yeah, but with our 11 navigators, 6 of them had the experience already. Yeah, so we know what to do, and you need to be fast. Yeah, and then you also need to differentiate between the well-being of your company, but also your own, because most of the time the interests don't, yeah, always, they are not completely synchronized, yeah? Because of course the company has to look for some people who are responsible as well. Yeah? But also, you know, when you have all these geopolitical challenges, yeah, and then all of a sudden a market disappears, and that might be the bottom line of your business, and then you don't know what to do, yeah, of course, then that you can organize, but it's still good to have somebody to give some impulses and support, yeah. And of course, the most general and very, very frequent topic at the moment is you just get fired, yeah, because I mean, there's so much restructuring going around at the moment, and everybody should really picture already the idea that this could happen, because if you're prepared, it will happen in a much smoother way.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So Stella Circle is then a kind of coach, but also a kind of advisor, but on a personal level, you say. And if somebody is interested, it could be interesting for him or her if he or she is in a special situation, in a CEO position, C-level position, wanting to do the next step, but also knowing what the next step could be, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, you know, we explicitly say we are navigators, yeah, and you have this one-on-one personal navigator because this is creating the trust basis. But then there are the others, which are also in an abstract situation, also supporting each member, of course. And then we have a service network with all the professionals for all different topics. Yeah, if it's all different kinds of lawyers, of course, social media pros, or people who know the arts, but also, private life can also be a huge topic. Yeah, if you go through a divorce, then you're not so efficient anymore in your job, yeah. And if it's gonna be a rose war, then it's really being tough, yeah. And there are very good professionals who are supporting in separations, yeah. And if you manage this field better, then you will be better in your job as well. So our approach is really holistic. We said there's seven phases in each C-level life, yeah. And in each phase, you can need some support, yeah. And then, of course, the private layer is the fundament, yeah. And that's why we say we are navigators. It's a little bit like a general medical doctor. You have the general medical doctor who knows all your health. We are in a health emission here, and then, of course, if there's need for a cardiologist, then you'll be sent there, yeah. And if there's need for somebody who is more into your neural system, then then you can go there. So it's the idea is really to be holistic in order to really understand what the primary needs are, yeah, and not coming from the product, but coming from the manager.
Super interesting. How many people do you have already who are using this service?
Yeah, we are 11 navigators, and each is a navigator for 5 to 20 people.
Oh, very interesting. Very interesting. It seems that this is really something which we need more. You're doing the service for women only, or is it also for men?
Good that you ask, because a lot of people think we are for females only, but of course we are not, yeah, because we think that future leaders, yeah, we want to have more future leaders, and future leaders in the sense of shapers of the future, yeah, and they are, of course, of all genders, and we have 60% females, mainly because a lot of people think that Stellar Circle is mainly female, yeah, because we have two female founders, and Stellar, you might think, it sounds female, but if you think of a star in German, it's completely male. If you put a gender behind it, so we are very inclusive. And I have to say that a lot of males are very fast in understanding that it's good for them. For the females, sometimes we have to do more convincing.
Yeah, I think it's super important, and I like what you said because it's not only about having the allies of the women. I think it's super important because future leadership needs also new roles for men, and doesn't need it not only in job life but also in private life. I think that a lot of divorces come from this. That women step more into a role of taking over responsibility, driving their career, and this is hard for the traditional role of men. So I think there must be also some area for them to unfold their potential, to see this is the way we can go. And male does not only mean being the boss of everything. It could be also being weak, could be being resilient, could be staying at home part time as a father, for example. There are so many other roles, but I think our society hasn't given these roles that much in advertisement, in legal opportunities to support or to prepare a family. There is so much what has to be done. Therefore, I really appreciate that you are offering this service also for men.
Yeah, and our main goal is to have satisfied people. Yeah, and we think if you have a fulfilled life in both professional and private life, that's really very good ingredients. Yeah, and then we also say, think about 100-year life. Yeah, and if you think about 100 years to live, yeah, then you have to think your whole options in your career and your designing completely different. You need to put more private life in the first part of your professional life, but you need to put more professional life also in the last part of your life, yeah, because doing cruises or hiking or gardening for 30 years is quite long, yeah.
Absolutely. We don't have that much time, unfortunately, anymore, but I would like to raise you a few further questions. You've combined being a mother, a partner, a top executive, many more roles, many more hats. In your experience, what is the one structural change that would make having a doll less of a myth and more of a viable path for women?
Well, I think it's really the childcare in the German speaking part, yeah, because if that works well, a lot of things are much, much easier. And I chose deliberately Berlin because there the infrastructure is really better than most anywhere else.
So it is because of maybe also the old Eastern pattern, right? Where it was normal that women can full-time work, can do a responsible work, but also having children.
Yeah, definitely. And then combine it with a mindset change as well. Yeah, because of course, it was very good, the infrastructure in the eastern part, but the roles were still quite traditional, one has to be honest as well.
That's right. I remember or I heard that there was a cleaning day in the old DDR, which gave the woman one day a week free of work just for doing the cleaning job, right?
Yeah, that's what I heard too. Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much, Tanya. It was a pleasure to have you here. I hope that your services develop very, very much, status circle, but also I hope that the female football players will gain really more and more better, getting really to the career they want and be visible, as we can learn from this a lot. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I think we can change the world to the better with people like you. And therefore, thank you for the engaging discussion and inspiring insights. And I hope that you all have taken something away for yourself. Because that wraps us our episode of We Empower, the weekly radio show dedicated to celebrating the strength, resilience, and limitless potential of women and men around the globe. Join us again next week as we continue on this empowering journey, sharing real stories of triumph, upliftment, and empowerment. Your presence and engagement mean the world to us, and we appreciate you taking the time to tune in. Remember, this time is a gift for you to discover new inspiration, embrace exciting insights, and find the motivation to live life to the fullest. It is about you to take this as a gift and to take most of it out of it and to reflect your own role, to maybe get new ideas, to find your vision and mission and define it or define it new. But take away as much as you can, not only for the weekend, for the next days, but also for your life. So don't hesitate also to get involved. Your voice is valued, and together we can make a difference. Together we can change the world for the better. It is about connecting, it is about togetherness, and it's about being brave in each moment wherever you are. Thank you for being part of this community. And until next time, keep shining and empowering others. Together, we rise.